So we've talked about lots of different things that God speaks, He communicates, that how we do that in consolation and desolation, how we end up, why we want to listen to God, because He has a will for our lives, and it's joined to His will, and that's where we want to find, because that's where fulfillment is. And today we're going to be talking about this other thing, if hearing God means trusting and obeying God. We've kind of referred this off and on as we go through this, but this place of hearing God is not just an assent to a theology or agreeing and saying, yes, I do believe that too, I believe that too. It's what we practice, right? Hearing is not complete until we actually put it into practice, and so we'll be talking about that and kind of going through it and helping us understand this thing of trusting and obeying. Those are kind of words that can cause some reaction to you, many people. I mean, the idea of trust is kind of a big issue I found with people because pretty much, you know, we've got to a spot where we have a lot of people who are over us in authority that we have a hard time trusting. We have to work at trusting. We have to build trust. Some of you had places where you've had relationships where you've kind of opened your life up and put the life in their hands and trust has been broken. And you've had to learn how to still keep living in that spot of building back trust. And so the idea that you say, you know, I want to trust God in the way that God talks about it is really kind of hard to take in, especially when we talk about what we talked about last week. The understanding of trust is, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That's trusting, right? Holy and pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship. Many translations might say your reasonable service, your rational service. Your rational response is that, is to yield your whole self and trust your whole self to God. And then we get to this plus where we have this place of obedience. That's the word that if you've heard me talk about obedience, when I say obedience, they say, and it really means trust. Because trust is slightly easier for people to take than obedience. Okay? And so in our culture, you have to realize how odd this is to say, you need to do whatever God says. You need to obey Him fully, right? And that's what we're commanded to do. The Great Commission is teaching, making disciples by teaching to obey everything I have commanded you. And then it goes on to say, which is really key, and we talk about this, is when He gives us commands, He doesn't give us assignments and sends us out. He gives us commands as we live with Him, and He shows us how to live out those things. Now, as we think about those things, as, you know, we realize that, you know, when we have a culture that truth is relative and there's no absolute, and you say you need to do it this way, even the word obedience raises up my rebellion. Have you noticed that? Whenever someone says obey me, I just, even if it's God, I think, wait a second here. You know, who do you think you are? Oh, God. And you know, so this whole thing of understanding this is a crucial issue because you can't get around this terminology. So what I want to do today is I want to help us understand when we talk about obey, when we talk about trust, what does it mean? And kind of getting past our own maybe interpretation, saying what does Scripture say it means? This whole thing of, it often we'll talk about obey my commandments or hold to my commandments. And those words, if you really dig down into them, they're really a spot of, it means keep, you know. It's a spot in which that you hold to it, and here's the imagery. You get this truth that you learn from God, and you hold on to it, and you guard it. In other words, you have it with you, and you're always waiting to use it. It's not like, okay, this is what you do now, but then it goes away. It's this place where we hold on to the things that God shows us to do. As we do them, it gets to a point that we actually can keep them, and it becomes part of who we are. This whole thing of trusting and obeying, you know, we're going to primarily talk about these three scriptures. I'm just going to go over them real briefly, and we'll kind of be referring back to them as we go along here. Is in 1 John it says, you know, when we think about obedience, often we think of restriction, control, taking us away from freedom. I mean, that's naturally our way of thinking of it. But it says, we know, we don't think of obedience as relational, but obedience is very relational. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But anyone who obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know that we are in him. You know, the understanding of obedience is this spot in which that we begin recognizing that this is relationship. I talked about this before, but it's this place of obedience is God's love language, right? And this place of trusting him is how you express love to him. You know, if you obey me, that's how you love him. So you can almost always just take obey and put love God. It's just interchangeable. In John, we use this verse a lot, but the people who had believed in Jesus, those who said, yes, I want to follow Jesus, said, he goes to them and says, if you hold to my truth, you are really my disciples. And then this amazing thing happens. Then you will know the truth, and there's as you obey me, revelation and truth of what is true becomes, you start seeing this way, you start seeing through this new way of looking, and then you begin living in that way, and you have this freedom that takes place. Matthew, Jesus puts it this way. He talks about this builder who built on sand and built on the rock, bedrock. And one was this, the one who built on sand was the person who heard God's words but did not put them into practice. The one that built on bedrock was the one who, a wise man who built on what God said and put it into practice. And his house was built on the rock. And when storms came, it held up. And this is what obedience does. This is what trusting. Every time we do that, it builds this foundation that allows us to live life well. And it brings us strength every time we do it. Now, a couple things I'd say in kind of helping us understand this place of trusting your whole self to God fully, right, and obeying him. And as you make choices, that's what you're doing. You're trusting in who he is when you say yes to what he says to do. And to help you understand this, I think it's really helpful when he gives us these terms that describe the relationship that we have. And this will kind of help us understand why obedience, what it's for. Why is it that we have to, love and obedience is together? Why is it that's the way we make disciples? The first is this whole thing of God is our loving Father and we're his beloved child. Now, many of you were a child, have had a child, or seen a child. And so imagine a child growing up, right? And for instance, I remember in California, they would play in the front yard, and we always would tell them, don't go in the street. And we had a command to not go in the street because there's cars that were whizzing by. And so we always had to say, don't go in the street, right? If you have kids, you have your instructions, your commands, right? What are some of your commands? Do not stick your hand in the fire. Bad, bad, bad. Do not breathe underwater in the bathtub. I mean, there's just like lots of commands, right? Get to bed now. You need to get to bed right now. You know? Why are you doing that? Why do you have all these commands? Because you love them. You're not wanting them to fear water and flame and cars and streets and live by some set of rules. You're wanting them to understand truth, right? And they can't understand it till they practice it, and then all of a sudden they understand it. Oh, that's what happens. One time we had a pigeon die out by our, right outside our driveway. Got smashed like that. We just left it there for a while because it was a great model. Like, that's what would happen to me. We just didn't say much about it. This pigeon, like, what happened here, yeah? But it allowed them to understand this is for your good. This is teaching you to do that. So what we have to understand as a parent, we're always God's children. He's always in the spot of wanting to put things in front of us to teach us how to see what is true and how to live in what is true, right? But he does that he says, don't do that. You know, lay down in green pastures now. Do this. I mean, he's commanding us to show us what's true. You know, with our girls, I was always the guy, don't do that. You know, just why? Because I said so, which is really good parenting. But my wife was much better. She was able to understand what we're after. We're after teaching them how to sense how to get a hold of truth about things so they can live well, right? And so I remember one time we were on the playground with Emily. She's really little, and somehow she made her way to the top of this really high platform. I tell the story a lot. She's up there, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my gosh, I got to go get her off, you know? And then she looks at Debbie, and not me, and says, Mom, can I jump? And I thought, it's getting worse, you know? So I'm starting to say, Debbie's like, I know the look. Don't say anything. So Debbie goes, what do you think? Oh, you know, and she goes, huh. I mean, it would have been a hospital visit. Like, how do you feel? I don't feel, do you feel safe? No. I'm not going to jump. That was good parenting, right? He was teaching the truth of height. We're not trying to keep them from not jumping. That's not our goal. Our goal is to teach them how they can live well in this thing called gravity and all the things that are going on, right? The truths about things. And we have to understand is when we put a kid to bed, it's not because, well, sometimes it's because we want free time. Most of the time it's free time. But really, in the better moments, it's because they need rest. And they don't know it yet. And so we say, you must close your eyes. You must go to sleep because they hadn't caught it. But eventually it's like teenagers, we have to tell them to quit sleeping so much. So, but the reality is they're catching on, you know. So understanding that is realizing that's what we're after. And that helps us understand why God's commands are so important. I mean, this thing of a good shepherd and the sheep, I mean, the understanding of this is just, understand when Jesus gives parallels, they're not allegories. There's some allegory in it, but they're one particular point they're trying to get across. One of the main particular points he's doing in the parable of us being him and the shepherd and we being the sheep is that we're not made to lead our own lives. We just aren't. We're made to follow. We're designed that way. The way that the sheep does well is the closer and closer and the more dependent he becomes on the shepherd. This is the same relationship we have with God. We understand that when that shepherd speaks, come here, lay down. And when you're in the valley of death and he's near him and says, I'll be with you in the banquet. All those things are designed in a way that we're listening and connecting. And this whole thing of we're a citizen. I mean, you have to understand, scripturally, we're in a war zone right now. And we're in a kingdom that is opposite than the kingdom that we live in. And we're supposed to live under that rule and not the rule of the world. And so we need a king to give us instructions. We need a commander-in-chief that we can trust to take steps out and put our weight on things that we couldn't have otherwise. And then I think the other thing is about this whole thing of understanding that we have to obey every command. It's just this kind of understanding of God's majesty. And he's the creator. You guys ever just think about this, about God's power and his position? When you understand that you're the created, it changes the way you understand God. He is the creator. I remember my dad used to have this land that we went to out about 40 miles away from my home, and we were out there a lot, goofing around as kids. And I still remember this in just going out, and you get that feeling when there's no lights around and, you know, the moon's not bright and you're looking up and the stars are just coming in at ways. All my life, when I get to those points, I feel very human. And I feel like a created person. I don't feel like the boss. You guys know that feeling? And I remember, especially after I became a Christian, I'd go out there and I'd look up and I'd realize He made me in my mom's womb and knitted me together. I'm breathing without thinking about it. I'm feeling the chill. I'm thinking, I'm processing, all because of how he's designed me in this particular way. And then I begin looking up. I think he created everything. So then I get into the spot where I start realizing, wow, I'm not too big. And I think there's 7.6 billion people like me, and none of us are alike. And then I start thinking, where am I at? And I think, I am here, and it's on this earth that's spinning. And then I think, you know, wait a second, I start just finding myself. This is a weird thing I do. I just keep pulling it out further and further, right? And then I realize, I'm here. And then I realize, according to the newest science now, is they, with the Hubble telescope, they've they're close on narrowing down the amount, but there's between 100 billion and 200 billion galaxies. That's their best guess. Now, you start putting that into it. Now, when you get to that point, you start understanding what the psalmist says. I praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors above the clouds. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord. For he... His command, and he gave... And they came into being. He issued his command, and they came into being. And then I think... I think I should do what he says. You know? I think I could trust my whole life to this God who loves me and has done all this. I think I understand that. I start understanding that, you know, when I'm as this child, I begin recognizing, you know, he loves me. And I know what it is to be an imperfect parent. He's perfect. And when he says something, it's for my good. And when I start understanding I'm a sheep, I realize, you know, he has a path for me that I cannot get to without him. There's no way I'll find the path. I'll be like that sheep without the shepherd. I have to get connected. And when I'm in the middle of this crazy world, and I'm trying to figure out how to live in this kingdom that's upside down to how I naturally think, I need to listen to him. And when I'm under attack, I need his power. And I need to stay close. And then when I'm created, I just realize, here's what I realize. I'm not my own. And that just changes everything. When you're not your own, you're God's. And so I know I spent a long time because I think that's actually a really big part of kind of this simple question of we're made to obey God fully. So good if we do. We're designed that way. It is love. Now, I thought I'd just describe a little bit this whole thing of trusting and obeying God that I think could be helpful. It's love. What I mean by that is, if you want to do better at loving God, yeah, I really want to love him more. And I want to do better at loving my kids and my family and my people at work, the people around me, and those people who drive me crazy. I would love to. How do you get there? You get there through listening to what God is saying to you now, what you know, and putting it into practice. The best thing you can do for your marriage is to obey God. The best thing you can do for your relationships at work is to obey God. The best thing you can do for your kids is to obey God. The best thing you can do for you is to obey God, because that's how you connect to God. It's love, all right? The other thing I'd say is it's also faith and worship. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about this. It talks about this place in which that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he actually is God, and he rewards those who listen and respect him and seek him, right? And so understanding that, it's recognized this is how faith is expressed. Is by trust. And it's really a spot of this is what worship actually is. Like when we're worshiping, what we have to understand what we're doing is we're resetting, we're realigning and saying, I'm yours, I'm not my own. I have my will, but I submit my will to your will. I want what you want. I want to fully trust you. I want to obey you. And worship takes us back and does that. It also is it's yielding and humbling your heart to God. It's this place. Always understand this. Is obedience always feels like this. Obedience, it doesn't feel like ramping it up and a great determination. Now, sometimes it takes determination to yield yourself to God. I'm not saying that. But in your own power, that's not what obedience feels like. Obedience feels like humbling yourself and aligning and going back to Jesus as the shepherd, as the father who loves you. And that's what it feels like. And understanding, sometimes I've seen people who like, they think, I think I need to obey God. And so they're kind of out here just like a sheep trying to figure out how to do things. Obedience always takes this place where it takes you to humility. It takes you to your heart being soft towards God again so you can be in your right spot. It's also this thing of abiding and aligning yourself with. This helps me a lot because what Jesus is speaking about his commands, he's talking about God's truth. God's truth is really how you live well, what is true. And as you live according to what is true, you can start seeing differently and you have this tremendous freedom, right? All these things. But all that place comes from, it's really just realigning yourself to who you are and who God is, right? And so it's this place of abiding. Sometimes we think of obedience to God is like David, do this, I will do that. David, do this, I will do that, which is actually part of obedience, right? But what's happening is that's taking place, and as I do it, I start understanding how to abide, you know, in this place of relationship. So my heart starts becoming connected to his, so I kind of know what to do in situations, right? It becomes part of me. And the last thing I just say, which I've already emphasized a little bit, is what it is, it's putting it into practice, right? Now, here's what I've learned about this whole thing of obedience, is that often God is very talkative. People who say God's not talkative, I just say listen a little bit more. He's often inviting you. He's often communicating, stirring you. Now, the issue on our side is sometimes we're saying, no, I don't want to listen. But if we listen a little bit, God's going to give us instructions. But there's instructions. It's so easy to see them as somewhat optional, right? Like, well, yeah, I'll think about that. Understanding those instructions are the place that we're talking about putting into practice, right? That spot where you think, I need to stop because God's asked me to. I need to say this to my friend that I need to say this to my friend. I need to ask for help. I need to get prayer. You know, I need to be to go to find security. I need whatever the things God's asking you. He's going to begin stirring you, and that choice of you saying, "I want to practice this," and the way you practice it is not an assignment He gives you. You run out and do. You stay right with Him and say, "Okay, yes, I'll do this. Stay with me." Right? That's why He says, "Go teach and to obey everything I've commanded you. And by the way, I'll be with you always." That's two are really important. Because He never is a father who says, go do it, Stark. Check back when you're done. He's a father that says, you want to do it? Yeah. Okay. Say yes, yes, let's go. And He stays with me and shows me how to do it. Now, another thing I'd say is that when we do this, it just produces tremendous fruit. Good stuff. I mean, of anybody, God could say, why should I obey you? Because I said so. I mean, if anybody can get away with that, that's God, right? And sometimes it feels that way because we can't get a hold of what He's after. And He's saying, I've told you to do this, just do it, right? But what's so cool about it, what He does, He says, you understand that when you do this, He promises these things that will actually take place. He promises fruit that we'll actually experience, right? So what it looks like is, and some of the fruit that I would just say is, when we can get to a place, and understand, obedience is not like, if someone comes to me and say, Dave, I finally got it down. I'm obedient 100% of the time, and I'm fully trusting God on everything. My finances, my sexuality, I got everything down, man. I got it. I think, no, you don't, right? I mean, it's a spot of understanding that for the rest of our life, we'll be learning how to become more and more responsive, how to begin having more and more truth in us. But there's always more that God is going to be taking us to. So how do we learn? How do we first off to do it? We have to realize it has fruit. And the good thing about God is that He always rewards us. He rewards us partly because when truth is experienced and we're living in it, things happen that are amazing. But one thing is the biggest reward probably is a place of just connection. You know, we just still, and I'm saying this over and over, but we somehow disconnect obedience to relationship. And obedience is relationship. In other words, if they have come to know me when they keep my commands. If anybody obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. If you hold to my teachings, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to the teachings, Now, there's also this whole thing of peace and protection. If you're a sheep, which you are, not literally, but you know what I'm saying. If you're in, if that's a parallel that you're there to follow and that you need a shepherd. If you're a child, and always will be a child, which is biblically sound, that you will always need a closer and closer dependency upon your parent, God. All right? So if that's the case, what you know you need is peace and protection and safety. Right? When you say yes to God in that spot, you can be in the most horrible circumstances. And when you keep saying yes, you will have a peace that surpasses understanding. That is where it will take you to. You will know it's safe, even if every circumstance and every threat tells you it's not. The closest, that's where the valley of the shadow of death, it's like, I will fear no evil because you're with me and you're letting your presence be known to me. You're communicating and I'm saying yes and I'm staying near you. There is this whole thing I talked about already is this revelation and wisdom where all of a sudden when we apply, when we put into practice what God is saying, we have revelation and wisdom. And then also it takes us to this place of great freedom. And then this whole thing of power and strength. I mean, we need power. Need power to say no to sin. We need power to do things that are impossible for us. And that's why you start understanding these scriptures that talk so much about, in my weakness, he's made strong. If God is for me, who can be against me? It's hard to talk about this place of when we say yes and put into practice what God says, it builds this foundation that nothing can knock down, right? And the main thing is it just has this place of just fulfillment and purpose. I mean, when we say yes to God, it will always take us to, oh, that's what I was missing. Now I see this other thing, right? And even sometimes, I'm amazed sometimes, I hear God will say something and I finally fight it. I finally say yes to it. I experience the revelation of it. It's so good. He says something else saying, well, I'll think about that, you know? But he wants to always be showing us these places in which that we're designed. It takes us to what God has designed us for. So I want to just practically kind of close with some things as far as like, these are more, you know, more practical at this spot of saying, how do we grow in trust and obedience? A good way for me that I often think of my life is, when I mess up, how long does it take me to be with in front of God? That's kind of a good test. Like, if I'm messing up or if I'm doing really well, is it pulling me away from God or is it pulling me to God in gratitude when I'm doing well? When I'm not doing well, how quickly am I turning for his grace and his wisdom? And how much do I stray away, right? So what I find is this place of, there's this place and how do we get better at seeking out truth? How do we get better at just obeying truth in that spot where we know God's saying something and we have to say, okay, I need to put this into practice. So here's some practical things that some we've already repeated, but I would say the first thing is this, is I found the people who are quickly obeying and quickly trusting are people who are understanding more and more who they are in Christ. It's just, I've seen it just parallel all the time. When a child, they didn't take study after study, when a child is in their home and the home is not, they don't know they're loved and cared for unconditionally and always will be there, all the things that a father and a mother would do, that child can't learn. It can't see beyond hardly themselves most of the time, right? I think the same thing is true. It's understanding the first thing God is going to be talking to you about, and if you're here today and you don't know Jesus in this personal way, this is what we're talking about. This place where you come to God and you experience his forgiveness and love and you know you're right with him. And the more you understand that, the more freedom it gives you to understand, and the more you'll find yourself, obedience comes much easier, right? The second thing I'd say is this, is understand that obedience is how we love God and others. And I've over and over saying that, but understanding that trying to love outside of obedience is just this frustrating thing. We're doing it for lots of other reasons. If you want to love the people around you, ask God how to do it. You know, in fact, the way that you should look at life is basically by the great commandment, right? The greatest commandment is what? Love God with everything you have. Love others as yourself. That's where everything's leading to. And so sometimes when I'm listening, trying to listen to God, I'm saying, God, show me what love is in this situation, right? And then in that process, that is where you connect to God as well. Desire, search for God's truth, commands, and instructions. This is why we keep always talk about loving the Bible. Because the Bible, when you have the Holy Spirit within you, and as you read the Bible, it just comes alive, and God gives you clear instructions. And that's part of this whole thing of holding the teachings in your heart. It's a spot that once you start understanding these things like forgiveness and generosity and putting another person above your own and humility versus pride and all these kind of things that become you start, they start becoming, these scriptures start just staying with you and you hold on to them and they just become part of who you are. Fourthly is this, is understand it's a battle and pick your side. Now that sounds a little strong, but I'm always wimpy, so I have to put a few strong ones. Understand the battle and pick your side. This is this spot where understanding that you are going to obey somebody. You will. And you know, I'll just obey myself. That's not holding up because you're designed to follow. And so you just have to decide if we really are in a war zone, which it says clearly we are, that we are not to live according to the world, but we're to live according to God's kingdom and to what God says. It's really important that you just make, sometimes that's the problem. You're trying to obey with both, trying to live in both spots. And that's always frustrating when you're trying to obey because you have not decided which side you're on yet, right? And so I've had times in my life where I'm not fully giving myself to God. I haven't picked my side yet. And I keep trying to hear God and I haven't picked my side. I'm still playing both sides. The fifth one is this. Is remember, yes means no to something else. Here's what I find anyway, is that when God asks me to do something, I quickly say this kind of thing. We don't want to have time for that, right? Have you guys ever read that? Like, I'll get to that in a couple of years. What we have to understand is if he says to do that, then you have to ask him secondly, okay, so what should I not do many times? And, you know, he might say, you know, come home earlier from work. You might say, you know, get, you know, sleep a little bit less. Or he might tell you to quit watching a Netflix show. I mean, I don't know what it is. But understand that something, when you say yes to something, often it means you have to say no to something else. And sometimes that's not even a no as in saying no to evil, saying yes to good. Sometimes it's just saying what you had in your plans is no longer the priority anymore. Doing what Jesus asked and letting him be with you. Talked about that already. Live in the light and ask your brothers and sisters to help. Here's what I found is really helpful when God's talking to you about things. It's having a community that you quickly tell them what God's talking to you about. If you don't do that, you'll get talked out of a lot of things. If you're not able to act on that right away, you better tell somebody. Like if right now in this service you start feeling something God's stirring in there, make sure you tell someone right away. And the other thing I'd say is choices right now is where you focus, is where to focus. I always think, okay, God, I know you're wanting me to get off my computer and play with my grandkids right now. But let me think about what's going to happen next week and the week after and the next year, right? He says, that's not what I'm talking about. Those things that are right in front of you are directed to your future. They're connected to everything, even when they don't look like it. And so pay attention to what's right in front of you. And those choices take you to your future. And that's why I say small choices are big choices. This is the last one. Let pain and suffering take you to God, not away from it. You know, Jesus had to learn obedience because he was in that spot. He was perfect, but he learned obedience. How did he learn obedience? Through suffering. He always did what God asked him to do, but he grew in trust. He was a different person at 12 than he was at 30, what he was at the cross. He grew in greater trust. How did he do that? He learned it through pain. And so if you're in pain right now, which many of you are, This is where you learn obedience the best. It's this place you learn how to turn to God in pain, right? And so understand that that is one of the best places that God instructs us and builds this thing within us of trusting him. All right, the worship team can come up. This is something that I've kind of referred to a couple different times. We're not going to have a challenge just because I'm just, it's Thanksgiving. I don't give you a challenge, you know. Make the turkey, you know. So here's the thing. I've said this, and I'm just going to say it again because that's how I do. I say it 3 or 4 times. That always means God's in it if I say it 25 times. As a pastor, I've often found myself evaluating myself like, what do I need to do? What's my part? How could we have done that better in service? How could we have done that better in small groups and leadership development and all those kind of things? You guys can go ahead and start getting out of communion. And God has just been showing me, and as a pastor, that can kind of weird, like, maybe we move to Starbucks coffee, we'll do better. Maybe if we started having this service versus this service, maybe we should have more of this and that. You start getting crazy in our consumer culture on what it means for a church to go where it should be. And here's what God's been saying to me. David, obey me in what's in front of you. Quit analyzing everything. If you obey me with what's in front of you, that's your job. And guess what he said about you? That's what you pray for. You don't pray for some strategy or system to come into place. You pray that everybody in the church starts obeying, starts saying yes, more than they are now. And I'm telling you, in my heart of hearts, that is what God is asking us as a church. It's not going to be top down. It's going to be everybody here taking steps into places of greater trust and obedience. So whatever you're going through right now, you're thinking, I don't know if I obey God or not on that. It's not just about you. It's about the whole church. You're part of a family. And so I just encourage you, remember all the amazing things that happen when you say yes. All right.